biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me at Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. Vernon Davis going to be stopping by an hour 20 from now. And then at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, we will chat it up with a talk show host in Kansas City. And I'll also hear him right here on CBS Sports Radio, our guy in Carrington Harrison. A whole lot to do today, but first up, producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
Hot Take Hickey.
And really important that you go follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We pump out a lot of clips from the show and also with a lot of video as well. So if you want to do that, we thank you in advance. But we got to start off with this. So Davante Adams last night is doing one of these question and answers on the good old cesspool that is Twitter. Like, up, I got 15 minutes. I'll take 15 questions. One of the questions were, which neighborhood is Aaron Rodgers moving to? And Davante Adams quote tweeted that and said, mine. Now, we all know that there's a ton of speculation about Aaron Rodgers and his future. The last 2 years, when a lot of you thought he was going to get traded, I sat here and I said he was not going to get traded. As I did tell you week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I really do believe Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers are nearing a split. They're going to get divorced this offseason. They'll turn the baton over to Jordan Love. We'll see if he could sink, or, you know, if he's going to sink or if he's going to swim. And then Aaron Rodgers is going to go somewhere else. And there's already some little, like, drops that are getting released out there and are getting left behind that the Green Bay Packers will not trade him inside the NFC. You have Aaron Rodgers today at some pro-am golfing, and he goes, I'll tell you this, I won't be playing for the 49ers. Rodgers in his McAfee interviews keeps on giving a little hint here and there that maybe a divorce is coming. And it seems like Rodgers is ready to move on, and maybe Rodgers was ready to move on at separate times the last 2 years. But you never got the Packers, other than drafting Jordan Love, with that feeling that the Green Bay Packers were ready to move on. Because remember, after they drafted Jordan Love, Rodgers went on to win back-to-back MVPs. And I don't believe when they drafted Jordan Love that the Packers thought Rodgers was going to go win one MVP, let alone two MVPs. So when you do that, it's very tough to move on from someone. Then you give him the contract extension, and this year, for Packers standards, was an absolute disaster. Like, you could have told me you expected the Packers to fall back this year, not to a point where they would just flat out miss the postseason. That was inconceivable to me, especially with how for most of the year we talked about the NFC is open, the NFC is not a deep and in-depth conference and not a diverse conference. So I feel very confident in saying that Aaron Rodgers is going to get traded this offseason. And wouldn't it be something if he did wind up with the Las Vegas Raiders? And there's a lot of misconceptions, or I think a lot of people forget, when Davante Adams got traded, that first-round pick was for last year's draft. Because I already got some tweets. Oh, well, how are the Raiders going to be able to do this trade? They don't have the first-round pick. The Raiders have first-round pick. They have first-round pick in the top 15, top 10. So the Raiders have a first-round pick. So they could get this deal done. I also don't know what the return is going to be for Aaron Rodgers because of his age and also the financial commitment that you have to make. I would think that Rodgers goes for at least one first-round pick if it's not a one and then something else. But if the Packers' approach is going to be, we're only going to trade him to the AFC, yes, you could create a bidding war within the AFC, but I actually think it would behoove the Packers even more if they did elect to say we would consider trading him in the NFC. Because then you could get teams like, for example, the Commanders. I know Rodgers said he won't play in San Francisco, but maybe the Niners come calling. So I look at this, I do believe, and I don't know where you stand on this, Hickey, but if the Packers are willing to trade Aaron Rodgers, where I know we're both in agreement on that, we've only talked about AFC destinations because that's what we kind of been told, is that the Packers would only consider the AFC, but shouldn't they consider the NFC? Because if you're going away from Aaron Rodgers, yeah, you're not going to trade him inside your division, but you're practically rebuilding or at bare minimum resetting the organization. Because you look at then what you have Jordan Love, you got your running backs, you got Christian Watson, but you got to reset and you got to retool if you don't want to use the words rebuild. And I would try to get the richest return and the most lucrative return that I could get, Hickey. I wouldn't just say, oh, I'm only trading him to the AFC. Also, Rodgers is 38. So I don't know how much longer he's going to play. But let's just say he plays for another 2-3 years. You're really going to be that concerned about Rodgers going somewhere else in the NFC and then maybe preventing you from making a run? So as long as, like, I get not trading him inside the NFC North, but the South, the West, or the East, I would have no problem trading him inside the NFC.
For me, it would depend on the difference and the gap between that NFC team's offer and an AFC team's offer. If it's similar, AFC every time, not a thought.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Slightly better, still probably AFC.
Let's say the Raiders are the team, and the Raiders 1-3. Is what you get from the Raiders. But you could get, I'll start low, a 1-2 from the Commanders. Would that be enough for you to say, okay, I trade him inside the NFC to a team like the Commanders or even like Tampa Bay or someone like that?
This year it's a little tough because I think the Raiders picking 7. So I would take the 7th round overall pick and a 3rd over a 1st and a 2nd where the Commanders are picking, I've taught my head like 15 or 16, something like that.
Okay.
I'll take the Raiders pick.
Fine. What happens if it's 2 first round picks? Let's say the Commanders call you up and they go 2 first round picks for Aaron Rodgers.
It'd have to be something like that, where it's like if the Raiders saying here is 1st and 3rd and here the Commanders saying 2 firsts, then it has to be like something like that gap where I would consider going to the NFC.
And that's a good point. Like if the difference is just a 3rd or a 2nd and you already have the first round pick, the position of knowing for this first round pick of where it is, that could maybe make you say, okay, I'd rather take that offer because it's a better offer, a 1-3 maybe compared to a 1-2 because of where how early that first round pick is from the Raiders. But I would not just be so narrow-minded and say only the AFC. I would consider the NFC because also, let me just throw this out there. Are you really that worried about Rodgers going somewhere else and winning a Super Bowl? It's been such a long time since this guy got to his only Super Bowl and won it. Like, if he goes to the Raiders, and I could see why Devontae Adams wants him. I could see why the Raiders would make that move. But what are you really accomplishing? At best, you're a playoff team. Like, you're not going to go win the AFC West with Patrick Mahomes in that division. And even though I'm not all that positive on Russell Wilson's future, let's see what Sean Payton does in the AFC West. The Chargers, I think, will be a play-in team year in and year out. So you look at that move just because you get Rodgers, Rodgers this year in a division that other than Minnesota, like I know the Lions were better, but going into that year, we all thought the Packers would win that division. And even if the Vikings somehow won the division, the Packers would still get into the postseason. You're going to a tougher conference and you're going to a tougher division. So I could see why Raiders fans would be thrilled that they got Aaron Rodgers, but I would not expect to win a Super Bowl with him because for 3 years, he had it made for him. He had a 13-3, 13-3, 13-3, and home field advantage 2 out of those 3 years. And I'm not saying that he had to go to 3 straight Super Bowls and win them all 3 times. He couldn't even do that once. I'm not saying dream and shoot for the stars here. I'm just saying go get another Super Bowl. Just one more. So if he goes to the Raiders, yeah, I could see why he would want to do that because he's playing with his friend in Davante Adams. We'll see if Darren Waller's still on that team. You'd think they're going to franchise tag Josh Jacobs. But I don't really think there's a destination in the AFC outside of maybe one. Or I'll even throw 2 that I'll throw out there that I could start thinking Super Bowl. Like if he goes to the Jets, I think the Jets are a playoff team, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. If he goes to the Tennessee Titans, do I think that they win a Super Bowl next year? No. Like, yeah, Rodgers and Derrick Henry really good, but who are you throwing the ball to? I know they drafted the young wide receiver, Burks, but let's see what he develops into. The Colts? It's not a Super Bowl team, but I'll give you 2 that you may be able to see a path to a Super Bowl. What about the Baltimore Ravens? If the Ravens this offseason say, we'll trade Lamar Jackson, use some of that capital that we get back from Lamar Jackson to go get Aaron Rodgers, you put Rodgers with the Ravens, and you got to go get him a wide receiver. But with that defense, if he just manages the game, that could be a Super Bowl team. And the other team out there, the Miami Dolphins, where I don't think they would win a Super Bowl in Miami with Rodgers. And you're in a division that has the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen. And you got to find a way to get that defense back into the right mode in Miami. But you got good weapons there in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And you have an offensive-minded coach in Mike McDaniel. And that was a team that if they did not have injuries this year, or the concussions of Tua, I know they won 9 games this year, but maybe they would have won like 11 or 12 if Tua, unfortunately, didn't suffer all those concussions. So I look around, and you have this idea of Rodgers going somewhere and Rodgers maybe getting that one last shot to win a Super Bowl. I just don't really see the destination, Hickey, that I look at and I go, I think it's realistic they'll trade for him because a lot of things have to happen for the Ravens and Dolphins to trade for Aaron Rodgers. On the Ravens front, they got to get rid of Lamar Jackson first. And then you'd have to go pursue Aaron Rodgers. Who knows if Rodgers is still going to be available when all that goes down. The Dolphins, I know they keep on saying Tua's going to be the guy, but we've seen them flirt before when they've also said that Tua is their guy. But still, you go, it's different of flirting and then actually going on out there and executing the trade. So I'm trying to think, really, Hickey, of like the destination that I could start to really envision that is realistic in a trade getting done and then also be a team that I go, okay, Rodgers is going to go win a Super Bowl in. And I just really don't see it. Not in the AFC. But if you're Rodgers, I'd want to be traded to the NFC. Not that those destinations are like superiorly better than the AFC, but the NFC's open. Brady's no longer in it. You look around and you see Jalen Hurts. I think the Eagles are going to be good for a while. Dak, I can't trust the Cowboys in a big spot. I can't trust Kirk Cousins in a big spot. You know, I know that Sean McVay is going back to LA with the Rams, but that team's got a lot of problems up front, and we'll see what Stafford's like coming off an injury. So you look around this NFC, like if I'm Rodgers, I don't want to stay in the NFC because that's still your best shot to win a Super Bowl. But it does seem like this relationship in Green Bay has run its course And I really do believe that Rodgers is never going to win another Super Bowl again. And because of that, maybe going to the Raiders and reuniting with his pal in Devontae Adams is what he's okay with and what he wants to do, because he's at peace with everything that's gone down. Like, we look at it, we obsess over it. He's got to go win another Super Bowl. Rodgers probably looks at it. I'm a top 15 quarterback of all time. I have a Super Bowl ring. The moment I retire, I'm going right to Canton, Ohio anyway. And, you know, Rodgers, he doesn't really care about people's opinions. So I'm just going to be curious, Icky, how this plays out. Because we're in lockstep that a trade's going to happen. But where and how that is going to be perceived, and can I envision Rodgers winning a Super Bowl somewhere else? I think it's going to be very unlikely when Rodgers gets traded that my reaction on this show is, wow, the team he got traded to, okay, get ready. You're going to go on a deep playoff run, and you're going to be going to the Super Bowl.
I'm just trying to think in the NFC, realistically, where he could be traded and still be a Super Bowl contender. I agree, it's easier in the NFC. But I'm trying to think, like, if he goes to Tampa, he goes to the Commanders.
I'll give you two.
Are you saying Super Bowl, like, legitimate Super Bowl contender next year?
What about Seattle?
Is that realistic?
That's another thing. I think that they're going to stick with Geno Smith.
That would be interesting. That's one where I'm like, maybe.
Right.
See how the offseason goes. But again, also when it comes to, you know, being realistic, is that a team that either the Packers would want to trade him to? Or that, crazy as it sounds, would that be a move the Seahawks would want to make?
Why? That's the thing I can't wrap my head around. Why would the Packers, if you're kind of ushering in a new era anyway and kind of resetting, why would you care if Rodgers goes to Seattle? If they're going to give you a big offer and they have a pick inside the top 10, why would you really care?
I guess to look at it from their perspective, they want to be proven right.
Okay.
And if he goes and wins a Super Bowl, I think it looks a lot worse on Green Bay than
if he
goes. But
it's still unlikely.
No, I agree.
Like, you could argue the Packers had better teams than the Seahawks are right now, and they couldn't get the job done.
I would agree. I'm just saying, if you're Brian Gutekunst, I think right now the biggest
way
to expedite your exit is trading Aaron Rodgers to a team that's basically a quarterback away, and he goes, let's just say, to Seattle and wins a Super Bowl. It's like, you idiot. Why didn't you get this team ready right now?
Now, remember, they don't have traditional ownership. So sometimes that pressure isn't there, where you have like a Jerry Jones or a Jim Irsay that will just react out of a crazy thing that happened and go, you're out of here. You're fired. See ya. They don't have that with the way that team is constructed. I really do believe this. The Commanders are a fantastic destination. Outside of Dan Snyder, who we all know is like a rat, you look at that team, the defense is really damn good, and offensively, I like the pieces there. Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson. I think Brian Robinson Jr. is going to have a really good year next year. You got some good pieces there. Now, you go to a division that's tough. That's a tough division. But you stay in the NFC, I think you have a better shot. Like, let's say if it's between Rodgers to the Commanders, Rodgers to the Jets, Rodgers to the Raiders. I think your best shot to get to a Super Bowl would be if you went to the Commanders. If you're Aaron Rodgers, the Raiders, at best, what, you're finishing second in that division? At best, you're going to be a wild card team? You're not winning that division. And the Jets, it's the same thing. You'd be a wild card team, because until someone dethrones Buffalo in that division, I don't think it's likely that you're going to be able to go win the AFC East or go on a run in the playoffs. So I'm not telling you that it's a lock that he goes and wins a Super Bowl with the Commanders. That'd be crazy. That'd be jackassery. But compared to these other realistic destinations, it's better than the Jets and the Raiders. I really do think Brady retiring messes up this entire situation, because I was pretty much convinced Brady was going to go to the Raiders and then Rodgers is probably going to go to the Jets. Now with Brady out of the picture, it puts more pressure on the Raiders. And I really do think this comes down to a bidding war if the Packers do not consider the NFC to trade him to between the Jets and the Raiders. That's what it feels like. Are you at that same kind of line of thinking, too, that it feels like right now it's between the Jets and the Raiders?
Those are the two teams that have either been reported to be making a trade or getting a trade off already or incentivized. I mean, the Raiders, it really is Rodgers or bust, right? Like, you're not upgrading over Derek Carr or any other quarterback right now.
Like, you go to Jimmy G, you may as well have just kept Derek Carr. Like, I could trust Jimmy G a little bit more, but it's not like you significantly upgrade. Like, you could argue you maybe even downgraded, some people would say. But really, if Davante Adams, who expedited, or excuse me, if Davante Adams, who forced his way out last year, if he somehow now gets Rodgers back from the Packers, like if I'm Gutekunst, I don't know if I want that to happen. I don't know if I would want Rodgers to get traded and go back to Davante Adams. Even though like the Raiders don't intimidate you, I wouldn't want that if I'm Gutekunst.
I would agree because you talk about looking bad. Again, I'm with you. I think there's no chance of a Super Bowl. But with that said, though, like the
they can make the
1%
playoffs,
chance
it's not crazy.
They get in, get hot, and you have the two guys you traded away in consecutive off seasons teaming back up with a new team and winning a Super Bowl. Oh boy!
Because then
oh,
it's not boy. Just one guy throwing it in your face; it would be a double whammy.
Yes,
because like if Adams went to the playoffs this year and Green Bay didn't, you know he would have his fun dance on the grave of the Packers. But if you get Rodgers and Adams getting to the playoffs, and then Jordan Love stinks next year. It's going to be, you didn't appreciate what you had. You didn't take care of what you had when you needed to, even though they gave Rodgers an extension. But you know Rodgers would jump right off on that bandwagon of feeling underappreciated by the Green Bay Packers like how Davante Adams does. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back, and when we do return, we'll talk about the Cardinals' head coaching position and why Kyler Murray may be a detractor for some.
The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So Josh Sills, who is a backup offensive lineman for the Eagles, has been indicted on rape and kidnapping felony charges. He's been placed on the commissioner's exempt list. And just to give you some details here, according to the indictment, which was filed, this is from Yahoo Sports, on January 31st, the charges are related to an incident that occurred in December of 2019 when Sills allegedly engaged in sexual activity that was not consensual and held a victim against her will, which is obviously absolutely disgusting. Now, in terms of the Super Bowl, yeah, this was a story yesterday. It gets talked about today. It's horrible what happened. But in terms of the impact on the game, Josh Sills is absolutely irrelevant. And we'll see what comes out of this. But yeah, it's, when you read the details of it, it's disgusting if what he's being accused of is actually true. Now, we also got another alert during the break. And this is a breaking story. Bengals running back Joe Mixon has been issued an arrest warrant on account of aggravated menacing. And this is from PFF Mike, who's Mike Renner, who does a good job for Pro Football Focus. Now, if you recall, Joe Mixon, I think this was in 2014, he was suspended by the Oklahoma football team after a misdemeanor assault charge, and he was captured on video. I remember the video where he punched a woman who was also a student at Oklahoma. So you have this new thing happening and breaking with Joe Mixon, And I don't know what exactly occurred other than he was issued an arrest warrant on a count of aggravated menacing. I don't know how long ago this occurred or if this is something just happened recently. But Hickey, imagine if the Bengals would have defeated the Kansas City Chiefs and then this happened and this comes out. And I know you're going to say innocent until proven guilty, but a lot of times when things like this occur, if there is pressure from the public, you get placed on the commissioner's exempt list. Like, you go back to the Deshaun Watson situation. Everyone goes, why wasn't he placed on the commissioner's exempt list? It's because there was never a chance that he was going to play again for the Houston Texans, because not to forget, he wanted out of Houston even before all of these accusations did come about out of Deshaun Watson. But could you imagine if Joe Mixon and the Bengals would have got back to the Super Bowl? And there's very little that we know other than what I just told, that there's an arrest warrant that's been issued for Joe Mixon on an account of aggravated menacing. Could you imagine if this was Super Bowl week and then further details come out where you're looking at Joe Mixon and like, how is the NFL going to allow this guy to play?
I mean, it's weird to say bullet dodge, if you will, but yeah, that's a question the NFL does not have to answer. I mean, look, even last week, you look at the 49ers player, Charles Omenihu, who was, after the second round win, is accused of domestic violence, plays in the championship weekend. So also, too, it happens. You would think there's a lot of pressure on the NFL and the 49ers to suspend him at least. Doesn't happen. He plays in the game on Sunday, and the 49ers are just basically having a cop-out of, well, the legal process take care of itself. I would assume if the Bengals did win on Sunday instead of losing, now 2 weeks is a longer time, obviously, but I could see Zach Taylor saying a similar statement as Kyle Shanahan. Let the legal process play out, and then we'll take it after there.
Now, bare minimum, though, that would have been a major, major story during Super Bowl.
Oh, you'd be asked about it every day.
Every day.
That's, you know, media.
Be a major distraction.
Oh, yeah.
So, if we get more information on that, we will update you. By the way, Rich Ackerman is here. And I'm going to get to this update today on time, because Ack has won me over in the newsroom today.
Is that all it takes?
That's all it takes.
I'm bringing more food tomorrow.
Ack is going to the microwave with mac and cheese from Trader Joe's. And I go, oh, that looks pretty damn good. The next thing you know, Ack, he warms it up for 5-6 minutes. I went to the bathroom. I come back. And there's some mac and cheese on my desk. And let me tell you.
Sample.
I was very, very, very skeptical of like microwave mac and cheese, like warmed up in like a little kit. It was delicious mac and cheese.
I told you. I told you it was really good. Yeah, we could be a commercial here for Trader Joe's, but it's, you know, I've always been a big mac and cheese fan, and you kind of come across it and you say, you know what could be bad about mac and cheese? But then you put it in and you're like, wow, this is really good.
Now, there's no such thing as healthy mac and cheese.
No.
But is that on the healthier side? Because you didn't have like any breadcrumbs on it. There was no bacon or chicken in it.
I don't know. I didn't look, to be honest.
Gotcha.
It's one of those comfort food. Sometimes you dress it up. You put a little grilled chicken in there, mix it up a little.
That's good.
That's not a bad meal.
My best friend's mom used to make mac and cheese with the breadcrumbs and then bacon bites in them.
Oh, there you go.
Just absolutely delicious. Hickey, you're a big mac and cheese fan, right?
Oh, yeah. Who isn't?
Yeah, I try not to eat that much mac and cheese because then you pack on the extra pounds. I'm trying to go the other way, not skyrocket back up. Are you just a traditional mac and cheese guy?
Breadcrumbs is still, I can't deny.
Right?
Can't deny. Oh, some places make one of the breadcrumbs, it is to die for.
Like Stoner Sirianni when he's ordering that Pizza Hut and ordering Little Caesar's pizza. I think he's just better off ordering if he's looking for some of that comfort food, as Ack would say, or you maybe have a little bit of the munchies. I would think you're ordering mac and cheese instead of Pizza Hut or Little Caesars, whatever he was ordering.
And I would assume Philadelphia has some pretty good Italian restaurants where you're not going to, again, get crappy mac and cheese. So, yes, I would agree. Go good stuff rather than cheap pizza.
Philadelphia, there's a lot of great food options. Now, real quickly here, Ack.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I asked you this, but I know you are a pizza connoisseur.
Yes.
And there are times you bring in pizza into the office, and you're very, very, very benevolent that way because you always leave the pizza in the newsroom. Guys, it's on me. Don't worry. Enjoy some of the pizza. I do always question why you order a full pie when you're just one person. But with that being said, really? Well, these places?
No, well, you know what? If you're going to order, then I don't think they're going to come for two slices.
Oh, because you're getting it delivered.
Yeah.
Oh, I never even took that into consideration.
Yes.
But you had to want to just throw up when Sirianni is ordering Pizza Hut.
I was like, what are you doing, buddy? Mm-hmm. It's like I don't know what the New York equivalent of besmirching a cheesesteak would be. You know, it's like, it's something like right out of the, you know, the Hungry Man dinner. You know, it's like.
Well, I guess in New York, right, it's just bagels, cannolis, and pizza.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can get, you know, I mean, a good burger, but you can get, you know, everybody's got good burgers. But, you know, yeah, those are the New York specialties. But I mean, you know, those chain pizzas are not nearly, you know, on the same level as the authentic ones.
Once again, I think you're only eating the chain pizza place if you're in a rush.
Yes.
I don't think he was in a rush. He was at a facility all throughout the day, or if he's doing a little puff puff pass.
Yeah, you know what the guide in New York to finding a good pizza place is? If they have the TV in the store to watch the soccer game.
Oh, is that really the...
You know, if they got the TV on with the soccer game, you know you're in good shape.
I hear Sbarro is also the best pizza in New York.
I love that as a kid. I haven't had it in years. I mean, it's good in a jiffy.
I don't know if they have one right outside the Garden, but I remember as a kid going across the Garden and getting a little
Sbarro. I remember that on 33rd and 7th.
But now it's like $7 a slice for crappy pizza.
There's a classic skit on New York pizza done by Jon Stewart on The Daily Show years ago when Sarah Palin and I think it was Donald Trump had pizza together in New York.
Wow.
And that was
how many years ago, Ron?
This has got to be about 2015. It's, yeah.
If that happened today, I think there would be a lot of fanfare there.
If you Google it on YouTube, you'll find it's a tremendous piece.
Do you know who Sarah Palin's dating these days?
Is it still it was an athlete. I just don't
mm-hmm.
I want to say it was Glenn Rice, but I can't remember who it was.
Former New York Ranger.
Ron Duguay. That's
yes,
right.
Yes, Ron Duguay and Sarah Palin, a couple.
Oh, Glenn Rice. She liked Glenn Rice or something like that.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Ron Duguay. I'm sorry, Glenn Rice.
The only reason I know, and now we're going to get late to the update, but we go down this rabbit hole. The only reason I know that Ron Duguay is dating Sarah Palin is because one of my mom's friends has like a crush, a.k.a. like a stalker kind of addiction to Ron Duguay. And when I told her I was having Ron Duguay on during the playoffs last year, she was like, don't ask him about that, you know what, Sarah Palin, because I don't like that she's sleeping with Ron Duguay now. So there you go.
Okay.
The Jewish mother's fighting over Ron Duguay still to this day. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. We will chat a little Kyler Murray. And is he a detractor if you want the Arizona Cardinals head coaching job?
The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
This NFL postseason, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free on the road to Super Bowl 57 next week. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station. Streams are by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. It's all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. All righty. So this is from Tony Pauline, who works for Pro Football Network. Why is the Arizona Cardinals head coaching job taking so long to fill? If you are to believe what people in Mobile, Alabama, which Senior Bowl is at right now, are saying, it's due to Kyler Murray. And it's not because the quarterback has a large say in the matter. So then you're like, okay, what are you hinting at here? And then he goes on to say, rather, many of the desired candidates don't want to take the job, knowing they'll be tied to the hip of Murray for the next four seasons. Murray signed a five-year, $230 million contract in late August, and anyone who takes the Cardinals job will have no options in the foreseeable future at quarterback. You're seeing a common trend, I think, in this hiring cycle, Hickey, with just two teams. I know the Broncos got Sean Payton, and that's like the greatest consolation prize that you could get. But it does seem like, I believe the Rappaport report, that they were trying to go get D'Amico Ryans. And D'Amico Ryans had a choice, and I guess he talked a little bit about this today at his introductory press conference, trying to get to the audio. But D'Amico Ryans had a choice, really, from what it was perceived to be the Broncos or the Texans. And if I would have told you that a year ago, you'd be like, go take the Broncos job. But the Texans don't have any long-term commitment at the quarterback position. Where you look at the Broncos, they have a long-term commitment to Russell Wilson, but we don't know what Russell Wilson is anymore. And I don't think Russell Wilson's going to be trashed the rest of his career, but if he's just good in that loaded AFC West, in that loaded AFC, just being good isn't going to be good enough. You got to be great, and they're paying you to be a great quarterback. And so far, you haven't been in Denver. And you look at the Cardinals' job, there was a lot of questions about Kyler Murray and how great he could be when last offseason happened. Remember, he handled that situation up against the Rams so poorly, but he did eventually get what he wanted and got the long-term deal. But I didn't like the way that he conducted himself in that playoff game up against the Rams. And now you have Kyler Murray coming off an injury where you don't even know if he's going to play next year or when he's going to be available to play. And I always say this about ACL injuries, it really takes 2 years to recover. Like, you get back in a year, but then I don't think you're yourself until the next year because you got to go through that full season of playing and mentally get over that hurdle as well. So, like, if Murray can't come back next year, I then think you're even 2 years away from getting back to Kyler Murray where you could potentially be. And from there, we don't even know what the ceiling is for Kyler Murray. Because I look at Kyler Murray as someone that's a good quarterback. I would not sit here and call Kyler Murray right now someone that I'm definitely believing is going to be a great quarterback, but they're paying him like he's a great quarterback. So with only five jobs available and three are already filled, even though on the surface you look at the Broncos job, it's like, oh, wow, they attracted this big fish. They lured this big fish there in Sean Payton. The guy that I guess they actually wanted in D'Amico Ryans probably looked at that situation, if he was being honest, and saying, why would I go to Denver when we don't know what Russell Wilson's going to be? And I think some coaches right now are looking at Arizona and are saying, I'm going to Arizona. I don't even know how good Kyler Murray will end up being, and I don't know when I'm going to get him back on the field next. Now, you could always say there's 32 jobs in the NFL. There's always going to be someone that takes the job and it comes at a wonderful payday. But you look at some of these candidates, I think there was a reason why you had some other jobs get filled before Denver got their coach. Like the Panthers made their move. I know that the Broncos was announced first, but it was because the Texans already landed their guy. So I think there's a reason. When you look at the money that's tied up to these quarterbacks and the unknown play of what these quarterbacks are, where you have some candidates that are saying, yeah, I'm not really thrilled. I'm not really ecstatic about potentially going, Hickey, and landing in Arizona or what would have been Denver before they found a way to get the trade done for Sean.
And also coaches are wising up and realizing once quarterbacks get paid, for the most part, the head coaches are the first ones to go. Then the quarterbacks later on goes, oh, this guy's no good, and they'll move on. Usually you don't get the benefit of the doubt if you are DeMeco Ryans, let's say, going to Denver. I know Nathaniel Hackett kind of went through that, so maybe the second round is a little different. But for a guy like Kyler Murray, if you can't figure it out in Arizona quickly, it's like the coach is easier to get rid of first than the quarterback.
Now, I'll say this about Russ, who I know Russ did not really relate to that locker room all that well. He never threw Nathaniel Hackett underneath the bus. Where if you look at Cliff Kingsbury, who had his own problems, we all know that. But you look at that relationship from two guys that shared the same agent, right? In Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, if you look at how that played out publicly, and I get it, there's always times where you have a quarterback and a coach yelling at one another on the sideline, but it was clear this year, Kyler Murray had zero respect for Cliff Kingsbury. And if I'm a coach and I basically have to genuflect to Kyler Murray, why isn't Kyler Murray going to treat me the same way that he treated Cliff Kingsbury? Even if part of what Kyler Murray was saying was right, it seemed like every week when Kyler Murray was playing Hickey, we could sit back and go, oh, he keeps on showing up as coach. You do that once, it's one thing. You do that twice, it's another thing. When it happens so many times, that's when it gets really ugly and really sticky. And you're right. Who's going to continue to win that battle? Not going to be the coach. It's going to be the quarterback, because until that dead cap money goes down, it's very tough to trade one Kyler Murray.
And as we've seen, look, it's obviously a team sport, but if you don't have the quarterback, you don't have a chance. So if you don't believe in the quarterback and the owner is, you know, backing him, and if you don't think you could turn it around, it's kind of a no-win situation. There's no reason to do so. I think you're starting to see, I think rightfully so, coaches become more picky, where it's not just, let me just run to the first job that's available because I want to be a head coach and this is it. Now, you know, coaches are realizing you get a first chance and it's tougher, depending on circumstances, to get chance number two. So you got to make sure that that first one is a one that fits you perfectly. And so I get the hesitation. If you don't believe in Kyler Murray, he's not going to be there for most of the year anyway next year. So it's like you're already kind of working behind a situation where the quarterback's not going to be there for, let's say, half the year to begin with. And you're working out for an owner that the last two coaches he had fired after 1 year and fired after giving him an extension. So it's also not like there's the best track record, or you feel secure about if things get off to a rocky start with Kyler Murray, injury or not, that you're going to be there for 3-4 years.
Now, the other thing I will say on this, too, is the good part about Sean Payton going to Denver, is he has the clout, and he's going to hold Russ accountable. This late in the game, I don't know who has the respect in the league and the respect from the quarterback. Like, Russell Wilson has to respect Sean Payton. I don't know who the Cardinals are bringing in that Kyler Murray's got to respect this late in the game. Like, there's five jobs available. These weren't the most desirable jobs in the world. There's not only two jobs left. We know the Colts job isn't desirable, and it's showing right now with this ridiculous search where they may do a third round of interviews, and you got like 14, I guess you could call them semifinalists or maybe even finalists. This Cardinals job, is there a coach out there that you could think of that you go, okay, he could go demand respect from Kyler Murray? And like the only one I could really think of that I guess could be in play is Brian Flores, but we haven't really heard much on that front. And also Brian Flores, when he was in Miami, his biggest detractor was he had no relationship with this quarterback. And Tua Tagovailoa, Tua couldn't stand him. The moment Mike McDaniel came in and just went to his charity event, he was like, wow, a completely different approach from the other guy. They had four offensive coordinators in 3 years in Miami.
There's no coach right now that would automatically gain the respect of Kyler Murray, and it's already in question when you have the whole amendment or addendum for film study, so there's already questions about his work ethic.
Yeah, they got rid of that, but
well, it was there, you know.
It was still there.
You can get rid of it, but once you put it in there for the first time, you kind of, that speaks volumes.
And there's a reason, that's also the most, why, if you're going to sign a quarterback to that extension, you can't trust them to watch film. That's one thing, is the fact that they pushed that out there, that was even more to send
a message. Bad judgment.
Like, is it a veteran? Is Jim Caldwell? Like, is that, that's a veteran guy that seems respected? You know, knows
is
offense?
Is Kyler Murray getting respected, though? I would
that I don't
no.
know. Because Kyler is younger, and, like, look at someone like Kayvon Thibodeau, who doesn't even know who Joe Staley is. Okay? So, I don't know on that front if he would. Coming on back, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
biggest game of the year. The Super Bowl is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.